As we begin the message today, I'm going to do something a little different, which is why I have the screens on. There's a video that I want to share with you. Now, normally at the second service on Sunday morning, I will show videos as our reflection time. And this is an opportunity for you just to connect with the idea, actually continuing on with what Risa was talking about, and living in integrity. Living in integrity. So God bless you as you watch.
All right, next up, King David.
Thanks for coming, King David. What qualifies you to be our next small group leader?
What was that word you used before my name?
King?
Yeah, King, right. How many of those am I up against?
My strengths. Plagues. I'm pretty good with the staff.
Can't decide who gets the last brownie? Cut it in two. Boom. Wisdom.
Parting large bodies of water. Desert survival skills.
Weaknesses.
Weaknesses. Mountain climbing. Commandment retrieval.
Does that look weak to you?
And I can make a pretty mean goat sausage.
Okay, I mean, maybe haircuts. Women. Whose isn't?
So I lied. I said my wife was my sister. They were gonna kill me. Why are we even getting into this?
I'm just not sure we're comfortable with you in a leadership position.
Look, Jesus Christ himself called you Satan. He was trying to make a point.
Get thee behind me, Satan, I believe is the exact quote.
Bathsheba. I knew you were gonna go there.
It was a rock to the back of the head. I really regret that it happened.
And that's when you slept with the maid?
My wife said she was fine with it.
Abraham.
What?
Come on.
Okay, timeline. First I slept with his wife.
No. I didn't kill Christians.
Then I lied to him.
I was just watching people's coats.
Then I had him killed, okay?
They killed Christians.
It's a long time ago.
Besides, that was a different guy. That was Saul.
I've never killed anyone. What? You got somebody giving you beef? Huh? You need something taken care of? Where's the app? Yo, bring it, huh?
Didn't you deny Christ 3 times?
No.
Nah, I'm pretty sure you did.
No.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
No.
Okay, I did.
No, never killed anyone. Why would you even ask that question?
This is the guy.
Hold on, I mean, I do have some questions about my qualifications. I've never been to seminary.
Oh, you'll do fine.
I really don't have a whole lot of experience.
Do you love God?
Yeah.
Do you want to help people?
Sure.
Do you have a harem?
No, I don't have a harem.
All right, we're good then. Thank you.
Let me think about this first.
Oh, wait a second. Look who has them. Still got the tablets.
God uses imperfect people. He does. He uses imperfect people. Please grab your outlines. Let's walk through this together. Where does integrity come from? Where does integrity come from? That's what we want to talk about. And what does it mean? It's different in God's eyes. Let me start off with a story. 1912, there was a ship called the Titanic. It sailed. Everybody thought it was unsinkable. What really baffled investigators is not the fact that it sunk, but the fact that it sunk so quickly. That was very odd. And, you know, it took on water at an alarming rate, and in a few hours, it was gone. Now, going back a few years, 2008, there was an article in the New York Times, and that article was talking about some researchers, and these researchers had found a fundamental flaw in the design of the Titanic. It was in a part that holds the whole hull together. They had found that the builder of the Titanic had struggled actually for years, and they had taken on more than they could possibly handle, because what happened was they decided to build 3 of the largest ships in the world at the same time. Titanic, the Olympic, and the Britannic. And they could not get enough rivets. They couldn't get enough rivets of top quality. They couldn't get enough riveters. And so they settled on substandard rivets in putting the ship together. Guess where the iceberg hit? Where the substandard rivets were, pop, 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 the ship came apart in no time and it sunk that fast. There was over 1,500 people that lost their lives in that one incident. You see, today I want to talk to you about integrity. And I see that for Christians, integrity is of great importance. It is the fundamental glue that holds our lives together. There's a certain standard that God wants us to live up to. Very clear. Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary defines integrity like this: firm adherence to a code of moral values, for example, the Ten Commandments. Now, the people that Jesus is preaching to knew the Ten Commandments. They knew they had to follow the Ten Commandments. In fact, there are 613 commandments that they knew they had to follow. That's in the book of the first five books of the Bible. We call that the Torah teaching, books of Moses. So they were well aware that they had a ton of commandments that they had to follow. And, you know, all over the scripture text that we had this morning from the gospel reading, Jesus is saying, you have heard that it was said. You have heard of old. And then he goes on to make it even more impossible to follow. He adds one difficulty to the test after another so that it is not possible. He's pulling the rug out from underneath us if we think we're able to follow the commandments and earn our integrity in that way. He's making it very clear that you're not good enough, that I'm not good enough. And he wants to drive us to the only hope that we have. Yeah, I brought a piece of wood with me. This is a nice little piece. Looks fancy. But, you know, this is called veneer. And if you look at it on the inside, you can see it's just, you know, it's just sawdust and wood. I'm sure, you know, everybody has pieces of wood like this in their home, perhaps. It's called veneer, where they take a nice fancy piece of wood, beautiful piece, and they lay it on top of this sawdust and glue mixture. And it's just on the outside. It's not all the way through. Integrity is about all the way through. See, integrity is about what you are 100%. On the outside, it's what you are on the inside. You're a complete whole. You're absolutely together. It's like the rivets, whether it's rivets or whether it's veneer. Integrity is exactly what it looks like, what it purports to be. Now, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus used the seventh commandment among other commandments, but he used in verses 21 to 26, "Thou shalt not murder." Now, everyone in his crowd was familiar with that commandment. Most everyone would have heard that commandment, they knew. And they also were very quite aware that they had never broken that commandment, most of them. You know, Jesus starts off with murder, and he goes on to detail actually where murder begins, that it's actually just getting angry with somebody. Now, if you remember a couple weeks ago, I was talking about Moses. Talk about a man that had anger management issues. You know, he actually murdered a guy, like we just heard in the video. And then he smashed the Ten Commandments because he was all ticked off and he was angry. You know, and why in the world would God call him such a gentle person? Another one is the Apostle Paul. He was ballistic with anger time and time again in his life. He was so angry and so upset and so militant in his religion that he went and he hunted down people who were following Jesus Christ. He got special orders and special papers from the high priest and went and barged into people's houses. And he grabbed them and he pulled them back into prison, and he actually killed people as well. When Stephen was stoned in Jerusalem, the first martyr in the Christian church, he stood there and they put their coats at his feet. That means he was the judge in their culture. He was the one that said, kill him. He gave the decree and they put the coats at his feet and he minded as everyone else stoned him. Now, why in the world, why would God use people like that to be his prime spokesman? Here's a verse from Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote 1 Timothy, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience, even with the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that too. They can believe in him and receive eternal life." Integrity for a Christian, and this is countercultural for us. Integrity for a Christian, for us as people of God, is not a matter of how good you are. It's rather how good God is to you. Now, integrity does not come from obeying rules. Impossible. Rules might control things, they might control people, they might even control you. But rules cannot help you and I understand how much God loves us. They can't do that. You might think of it this way. If you take grace, if you take God's forgiveness in Christ, you picture a big jet engine, like picture a 747 that has huge, massive four engines of thrust on these things. Incredible plane. And it is grace. Those are the end. The grace is the engine. Now the law comes in as the flight plan. Law could be the flight plan that guides us, gives us a direction, shows us the direction and the way that we should go. But that's not what powers the plane. What powers the plane is God's grace. Rules do not create or produce growth. Secondly, integrity is not about how good you are. It's about how good God is to you. You know, we know deep down, it's true, that we should do the right thing. We all understand that. And returning to that definition from Merriam-Webster, the second part of it goes like this. It's the quality or the state of being complete and undivided. The rivets on the Titanic were not complete. They were not 100% quality. And none of us are 100% quality. Jesus is trying to clearly tell people that just following one or two commandments is not going to keep you afloat. Actually, what he does, follow his logic. It's amazing. Jesus brings up a point of logic to us, and he says, great, so you say you don't murder. Now, how much, and you judiciously and righteously follow that command. He's saying, how much ungodliness did that keeping of the command open up for you in your daily life? Amazing. He says, it doesn't work. Just being a good person on the outside is that veneer that he wants to peel away. And when it comes to integrity, us as human beings, we are undivided. We are not incorruptible. We are not undivided. We are not like God. God is the only one who is perfect and completely incorruptible. We are not. If you were to ask 50 people, go out on the campus, U of I, and you ask, let's say, 50 people, how they get into heaven. You know, you'd hear a lot of different answers, I'm sure. But by and large, you could boil it down into just one basic idea. You got to be good. You need to just do what's right, all right? And if you've done something that's bad, some people might say, well, you know, then balance it out with a little bit of good. So, you know, everybody knows we're bad. Everybody knows we need to be good. So you just kind of balance it out. And then if the scales are balanced, when you get up there, God's going to go, hey, swell, you did a good job. Come on in. You know, all the religions in the world, everyone except for Christianity, you can sum up with one word. Do. Do this. Do these things. Do these things and then you'll get bliss. Do these things and then everything will be okay. Do these things and God will like you. It's all do. Now they differ. Some will say do these things and others say we'll do those things. That's fine. But that's every religion in the world. Christianity is different. Christianity in Christ, because of Christ's work, would be summed up with a different word. Done. It's done. It's done on the cross. As Risa referred to, that cross made it done. All your sins are paid for. It is a gift. God just gives that gift to you. He comes to you, and no other religion in the world is like this. He says, I just give you salvation. Why? Because Christ paid the penalty. We are free. Praise God. What a wonderful blessing. It is done through Christ. It is done our righteousness. It is done heaven through the gift of faith in Jesus Christ. We are built upon that grace. You know, he is teaching what true integrity is, Jesus is. He's telling us that, you know, he's going through with great detail and he's setting the bar so incredibly high. Yet he does not reject us when one part of our life is flooded with sin. The words on the Sermon on the Mount, they are impossible for us to keep. But yet if one part of your life is going down, he does not want you to sink. He wants you to stay afloat. And his grace can touch any and every single part of our lives. There is not one part of your life that his grace cannot minister to, cannot help you with, cannot give you hope. One of the main messages of the Sermon on the Mount is trying to get people to see that outward veneer of righteousness, of following rules and rituals and regulations that the Pharisees had, are like rivets on the Titanic. They're not going to make it. You're going to sink. It is such a different idea for us, and it's so countercultural to how we would think we need to please God. You know, how do we maintain our righteousness in Christ? How do we build that up? Let me share three things with you that will encourage you in your faith. That'll help us to focus on who we are in Christ and actually make us people of integrity. You know, the first thing that I would encourage you to do, that I would encourage myself to do, is value integrity more than image. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that people in the world value image above all things. It's the image that we put forward. It's everything. You know, we have to maintain an image, but we settle for less than God's best. You know, for us, for many human beings, for us it's normal. We think it doesn't matter if I am rich, as long as I look like I'm rich. It doesn't matter if it's great, as long as it looks like it's great. It doesn't matter if I'm having fun, as long as it looks like I'm having fun. You know, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Image is not real. It's not helpful. You know, all those people that we try to impress, that we're trying to get their attention and we're trying to look good in their eyes, they're trying to do the same thing back to us. And you know, he's telling us, Jesus is coming right to the heart of who we are, and he's saying, just leave the image. He said, just let it go. What if they see me with my imperfections? What if they see that grace is greater than my imperfections? What if they see that God can take my failures and he can make something out of them? He can actually save me from my worst moment and actually give me grace and encouragement and hope that I cannot have in the world by trying to do it myself. You know, the second point that will build integrity for us is remembering whose we are. You know, we have to realize that we're flawed. We can't measure up to this image of keeping the law. It's not possible. But at the same time, God does not reject us. Instead, he has forgiven us. He's received us. We can give up the image. It's a lie anyway. And really be a sinner saved by grace. What if we just forgave? What if we just let it go? You know, we need to encourage each other as to whose we are. I need to hear that from you. You need to hear that from somebody else. You need to hear that from me. That's reality. That's our integrity. Our integrity is in Christ. And we need to encourage that. We need to build community in that way. And we need to pronounce that grace and pronounce that forgiveness and pronounce that love, not because we've earned it, but because Christ has. And it sets us free. Forgive someone. God's got it. You can let it go. Can you believe that God can rebuild something? Can you believe that God can help those damaged and those hurt places in your life and those hurt places in someone else's that give you grief and have challenged you? Be an influence. Not under the influence of this world. Be influenced by grace. Be remade, be renewed, be blessed. This is what sets us free. This is what really sets us on fire. It's the grace of God, not keeping some laws and some rules, putting up that veneer, pretending that you are something that you're not. Doesn't help. Doesn't set people free. Let me end with a story that actually it's about grace. It's about the power of God. It's grace working in people, and it's not about the law. Many years ago, I had a friend who was named Kirk River. We were really close. When Jill and I got married, we had Kirk as our roommate, and I actually worked with Kirk. As I was going through school, we worked together in a kitchen. And so we got really close. And so one day, Kirk is driving, and as he's driving back from a ski trip in California with his sister, my friend liked to go a little fast, and he's driving down the interstate, driving down the freeway, and, you know, going way over the speed limit. And by the way, he's got a bumper sticker on the back of his car. It says, "Give Jesus a chance." Remember those? Had like a little dove flying and an olive branch, you know? So anyway, as he's driving down the road, all of a sudden lights come on and, you know, police officer pulls him over. And police officers can be really intimidating. I've had in congregation, I had police officer friends, and you know, they tend to turn up their volume a little bit louder on their communicators when they come up to your car because it presents a presence, and they stand there, you know, and it's very intimidating. So this guy did all that. He came up and he stood there and he's standing. He goes, "Son, is that your sticker on the back of the car?" "Yes, sir." "Bad witness, brother." And then just walks away. That spoke volumes to him. It was the grace of God. I mean, it was absolute grace. Sure, you could take a law and you could slap on him and say, "Well, I hope he learns from this." No, that's not what Jesus Christ does. He could do that all day long, 24/7, and it's not going to help us. It's not going to draw us to God. God's looking for our love. God's looking for that relationship that he's sown in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he develops that in us. And that is integrity. That is integrity from the inside out that transforms our lives and changes this world. May God bless us. God bless you as the family of God living in that grace. In Jesus' name, amen.